So, Oxford Geek Night, hello, hello. We've not got long to save the NHS. We need to fix IT in the NHS. We need to fix IT in the NHS desperately. I'm a medical doctor and a geek. My geekdom began in 1987 in Hong Kong, playing around with MS-DOS and 286. Then I progressed to 486 and Slackware. I spent a lot of time with Slackware because I thought that it would make me a better geek if I learned it the proper way and left Debian alone. Eventually, I progressed, and now I have Ubuntu. So playing around with Ubuntu at home, it's wonderful. You can get at the computer, do everything you like. You can get things customized, make things efficient. You can play around with LaTeX, type settings much better than word processing. Everything's great. Everything's optimal. And then I begin practice in 2008, Basildon Hospital, highest standardized mortality rate in the country. And They're not big on digital. They're not big on digital. No, everything is paper based. Everything is paper based. I'm going to tell you three short stories in a minute. But firstly, everything is paper based. Data duplication of data and data input is a big thing in Basildon. So, patient comes into the hospital and lots of writing. You finally get them. Every day I have to take the consultant around the ward and I have to, first of all, make a list of all of the patients that I'm going to take him to see, and I have to do that in a Microsoft Word document with a table because that's just how it's done, and lots of cutting and pasting. And then when we see each patient, for each patient, we want to do a test, you want to do a blood test, you've got to fill out a form. You've got to have a form for a blood test, put up the patient's hospital number, date of birth, what tests you want to do, fine. X-ray, same, hospital number, date of birth, patient name, hospital number, date of birth, duplicated on the blood test form, on the X-ray form, on the request for a heart scan, for each patient several times, you're just writing the same stuff out over and over and over, and that takes up the whole day, filling out these forms. And you take them to the man and give it to the man, oh, it's not got the address on it, it needs to have the patient's address as well. Okay, fine, call up, get the address. It's just craziness, completely mad. It's 2008 and this is happening, and it's still happening at Basildon, unfortunately, and people are dying. So they're to be hysterical about this, but there's very good evidence that, you know, using a digital system, legibility, a bit of decision support, electronic prescribing systems, there's very good evidence that these save lives, but they're not there yet. So on the ward round, once upon a time on the ward round, there were two girls, and one was 15 years old and one about 19 years old, and they both had abdominal pain, and this is a surgical ward round, so the surgeons, they like cutting people. They don't really like seeing the patients outside of the theatre a great deal. So it's very rapid fire. You're going to see sort of, you're on take. So you're going to see 50 patients in a couple of hours with the consultant. And he's going to say what should happen for each patient. Bang, 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 bang. And unfortunately, you know, I was lagging a bit. Maybe I'd been out the night before. I don't know. There were two girls, one 15 and one sort of 17. And one of them was going to have an ultrasound scan of her abdomen, and one of them was going to have a per-vaginal ultrasound scan, and I got them mixed up. And so the 15-year-old girl had an ultrasound probe put inside of her vagina and a scan when she didn't need it, and I told her I was sorry about that, and she said it's fine. It's Basildon, it's Essex, it's okay. But it wouldn't have happened with a proper digital system. Wouldn't have happened. I gave somebody the wrong drug that year as well. It's penicillin allergic. You shouldn't give them penicillin. But tazosin, it doesn't sound like it have penicillin, but it does. Fortunately, they were okay. And the wrong diagnosis one, that was a bit more serious. This is, so both of these, the first two could easily have been prevented with a proper computer system. The second one is sort of moving into digital support. I had this lovely lady who'd fractured her hip, but unfortunately she'd also been having bowel problems for a while. And we fixed her hip, and orthopedic surgeons, they don't do medicine really, they just do operations, fix the bones, restore anatomy, they don't really care about anything else. So while she was in, she had her hip done, and then they did a colonoscopy where they put a tube up your back passage. And then afterwards, she had a lot of pain around sort of her hip area. So we said, oh, that's going to be a hip. But I'm the doctor sort of looking after on the ward, and she didn't get better. We made her walk and said, come on, you just got to try harder. Unfortunately, her bowel had been perforated when she'd had the telescope test. And sort of 4 months into practice, didn't occur to my seniors who had been practicing a lot longer. Might have, I mean, this is a recognized complication of having a colonoscopy, and unfortunately she passed away. So, I mean, a lot is at stake, and there is evidence that things could be done better than they're being done at the moment, and we need to speed up this change. I've got five ideas for the NHS, which I've recently pitched to a couple of hospitals and the Health Foundation, because the Health Foundation is giving out some cash to do stuff. So getting digital is important. So it's sort of minimizing data duplication and duplication of data entry. So you can do this in a sort of minimally disruptive way initially by using a novel concept of a printer. So there's absolutely no reason that you can't have. So very often proformas are used. Most medical admission units will have a proforma that the doctor completes by hand. There's no reason you can't have that as some sort of web form that is then printed out. And maybe you could even let the doctor use their own device, whatever they like using. It's an iPad or ThinkPad or whatever they like using. They could do it, and maybe that would help, and they could print it out. The nurses they're writing down the observations all the time: blood pressure, temperature, pulse, oxygen saturations. They don't really need to do that. I mean, devices can transmit things electronically. You could just print those out. These are sort of very easy, trivially easy things to do that I think we should start doing. And then the next step is to capture the data and make more, store the data and work out the information governance issues and reuse it. Maybe ask the patient, are you happy for us to keep the data? Maybe it will benefit you in the future or whatever. So that's one thing. Clinical analytics. I've done 10 months in A&E. That means I've seen, I did just a quirk of my training, I did 10 months straight in A&E. Every week I spent 48 hours on average in A&E for 10 months. So I've seen over 3,000 patients in A&E. So, you know, I must be quite good at A&E. Must know what's going on, but I don't. I mean, you make a diagnosis and you send the patient home if you think they can go home. Unless they sue you or they die or your senior spots that you've made a mistake, unfortunately, in the NHS, probably internationally as well, you don't find out. It's not like playing a computer game where you get score and analytic. The data's collected, but it isn't fed back. It isn't used. So whilst I was at the Royal Free Emergency Department, I organised a project called FED, Feedback for Emergency Doctors, and each doctor got a weekly report showing them, for every patient they'd seen, the complaint that the person came with, what was wrong with them, what they said was wrong with them, their diagnosis, if they're admitted to the emergency department, the diagnosis that the emergency doctor made, i.e. the person I'm giving the feedback to, if they're admitted to the hospital as well, then whether or not it tied up with the final discharge diagnosis, and if there were any readmissions after they sent them home within 48 hours. That's trivially simple to do. The data's already routinely collected. It was just a matter of querying two different databases and giving a report to the doctor. So unfortunately, that project ran for 6 months and it's not running anymore, I don't think. But there's stuff like this, it's just, why not? Why would you not do that? Why would you not have feedback? Surely you would improve learning if you kept track of outcomes. It just seems like a ridiculous thing not to be doing. So I think we should do better clinical analytics. Personal computing, as I mentioned this earlier, letting the doctors use their own devices. Why would you not let a doctor use their own device? Security is rubbish. I mean, you wouldn't want to use a Citrix client, but you could use a Citrix client if you wanted. If you really needed, you could use it. There's all sorts of, you know, it can be worked out. And I suspect that part of the problem in hospitals is that the user is far detached from the buyer. You know, one person buys the device or the system and another person has to use it. So you don't get very good quality there. And it's sort of breaking down that problem, creating a platform, having some abstractions, having some open standards, ideally with open source reference implementations, and things would work out a lot better. Vista is an electronic medical record. It's got 30 million users internationally, 30 million users. It's beautiful, comprehensive electronic medical record. It's open source. We don't have anywhere in the NHS at the moment. We've spent £11 billion instead. It's been around since the 80s, Vista. So, I mean, this is... We could start using this. It's free. You'd have to implement it, but it could be done. So I'm pushing that with a number of other people, and get accessible. So a big problem is that you have sort of, we know stuff about what should be done over here. Like, we've worked out the science, the best practice, and then you have what actually happens over here, and they're far removed from each other. So you need to sort that out, really. And part of that is sort of like making the information more accessible to the clinician. And I recently made a nice guideline app that's in the Android store, if you search for nice guidelines, that helps a little bit with that. But what are the barriers to change? I mean, there's lots of stuff that needs to be done. So partly it's corporate IT. People that grow up learning to deploy Microsoft products, point-and-click enterprise solutions, obviously they feel a little bit threatened by real sort of geekdom. And So that's the local issue, and then externally, it's a multi-billion pound or dollar export industry for America. So there's serious money involved with perpetuating the status quo. That's my conspiracy theory bit. And then information governance. Yeah, I don't know where this comes from. Maybe this just comes from the two former groups. It's what they bash people with, but they just go, well, you can't do that. You know, it's information governance issues. Yeah, at the same time, you have at the moment I'm working. With NHS kidney care, we're trying to sort out chronic kidney disease care. So we need to look at what GPs do. We need to look at people's blood tests from their GPs. The way that we do that is by paying tens of thousands of pounds to companies which sell your pseudo-anonymized data, essentially. So the biggest one has 8% of all GPs' biochemistry data, and you pay 30 grand for 100,000 records to try and work out like how chronic kidney disease is being managed. So clearly stuff like, I mean, it doesn't really make sense to me. Surely, if we had better systems, we would be able to do sort of data sharing in that way in a more rational way. So we need to accelerate innovation for the NHS for patients and taxpayers' sake. So I mean, the stuff I'm talking about, I think would save money. It'd be more efficient. We're spending the average spend for an acute trust is £500,000 a year on software licenses and software support. I think that's completely bonkers. You could have a lot. You just a few of you guys probably, and a much smaller budget would achieve much more. So I mean, there is some hope. The Cabinet Office seems to be realising this with AlphaGov. Mike Bracken from the Guardian, he's sort of sorting stuff out a bit. They've got a small team and they're doing like rapid development. And you can look at AlphaGov.uk. So the Cabinet Office sits above the Department of Health. So I mean, there's some hope for persuading the Cabinet Office to tell the Department of Health what to do. But the Department of Health at the moment, it's not so exciting. Talking to lots of people, some of them get it, but lots of them don't get it. And we need to accelerate change, because without meaning to sound hysterical, it is lives that are being cost because of our slowness. So I've got a company. I went to PyCon and I gave not as good a pitch as this, but I got a few people interested still. And a result of that is me and a Python developer called Ross Jones have set up a company called openhealthcare.org.uk. And that app that I mentioned, we're on GitHub as well, so all the code for the original Python code and then the Java for the Android app is all there as well. If anyone wants to go and improve it, that'd be awesome. Drop me an email or tweet me, whatever. Speak to me in a minute. Keen to take things forward.